I'm speaking to Jerry Weber. He's the owner of Green Bio. Jerry, a warm welcome to you on our program.
Good day, Gerda, and good day to your listeners. And once again, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Jerry, in the previous programs, we spoke about the regenerative agriculture, and the program after that, we spoke about topsoil. And today I want to speak to you about the effect of conventional or the chemical agricultural system. What have we done with our crop production?
Yes, thank you very much, Gerda. Agriculture has moved away from a biological system to a chemical system, where farmers are using chemical inputs to achieve ever-improving yields. What chemistry has achieved is remarkable. The unfortunate reality, though, is that chemistry has only taken one indicator as a success indicator, and that is yield. Banks don't bank yields. And in the beef industry, the same, banks don't bank weaning weights. What is interesting is that the farmers in Canada doubled their yields from 1980 to 2000, but their profits halved. And chemical input costs are getting too expensive for the farmers to make money. Taking harvest yields as the only success measurement does not equate to profitability, nor does it equate to a quality product. Farmers have been told that they have to improve their yields to improve their profitability. This theory is just not true. But using farming management systems that are detrimental to human health, production animal health, that affect wildlife and their environment, just because a few chemical companies have made products that have such far-reaching effects, we must really consider how can we change our farming management systems so that we aren't responsible for the decline in human health and in destroying the environment. Agriculture cannot be blamed for everything, that is true, but chemical agriculture has a huge negative effect on the whole environment. No pesticides, herbicides, or GMO crop, or even inorganic fertilizer is exempt from the negative effect of environmental pollution. We cannot, as farmers say, I'm using the least poisonous or the product that has the least effect on the environment. It still has an effect, and the effect is negative, and the result is detrimental. Thinking that I use the best chemical is like saying, from everyone that has failed, I'm the best. You still failed. What is interesting in Germany is that the organic farmers' products cannot meet the minimal standards of pesticides and herbicides because of the drift from the neighboring farms. In Egypt, the water from the Nile is so contaminated that it cannot be used to irrigate crops for organic production.
Jerry, what are our biggest problems when using inorganic fertilizers?
One of the biggest problems when using inorganic fertilizer, and we've mentioned that last week already in our talk on topsoil, is that the plant cannot receive its full basket of minerals that are required to produce a nutrient-dense food. Our food that we eat has become mineral deficient. D.E. Thomas did a study on mineral depletion of feeds in 2003. In 27 vegetables, the copper declined by 76%, calcium declined by 46%, iron by 27%, magnesium 24%, and potassium 16%. And in meat, the same effect has also happened, is where copper has declined by 24%, calcium by 41%, iron by 54%, magnesium by 10%, potassium by 16%, and phosphorus by 28%. The other problem with inorganic fertilizer, not all fertilizer that is applied is used by the plant. Globally, about $100 billion is spent on nitrogen fertilizer per year. This is both for crop and pasture production. Between 10 to 40% is taken up by the plants, meaning that between 60 and 90% is leached into water, volatilized into air, or immobilized in the soil. The USDA estimates that the cost of removing nitrate from U.S. drinking water is more than $4.8 billion a year. The other problem with inorganic nitrogen is that the runoff from farmland is the single largest source of nutrient pollution, contributing to massive dead zones in the Gulf of Mexico. And there are already 500 dead zones already documented in the various oceans. The interesting fact regarding inorganic nitrogen fertilizer on pastures is that it has no effect on milk yield. So regardless of how much fertilizer you put on, your milk doesn't increase by putting on more nitrogen or inorganic fertilizers.
The other thing in conventional farming is the use of GMO crops. What effect does that have?
With the introduction of GMO crops, what has been achieved? And a very negative or side effect on this is that the use of herbicides has just increased because it is so easy to apply herbicides now because it doesn't affect the crops. And it doesn't matter how much the chemical companies deny that their products are safe and that they don't influence the soil. This is just not true. There's a dairy farmer that planted GMO silage and non-GMO silage. He always fed the non-GMO silage first and had a certain production. When he then started feeding the GMO silage, he had to feed 10% more silage to get the same production.
What is the effect of the pesticides and herbicides?
Most of them get tested if they are carcinogenic or not. Normally the active is tested and not the final product, and it is often with the final product that surfactants are added to the active to make it more effective on the plants in it. And the question is really, how often must history repeat itself? And this is not only in the agricultural field, that substances get banned after an X number of years of being in use because they are too detrimental to human health, production animals and the environment and the wildlife. Discovery paid out 3.4 billion rand for oncology treatments during 2018, and the incidence of cancer has doubled since 2010. Our herbicides and pesticides that we spray onto our crops remain as residues in the crops. There are minimal levels at which these chemicals must be in the food. And the question really is, why should we have minimal levels of known carcinogenic chemicals in our food? This is the 21st century. Have we regressed in agriculture that we have minimum standards for chemicals in our food?
Jerry, is cancer the only problem?
No, the other problem with agricultural chemicals, and it's most probably a bigger problem than being a carcinogen, is that they are actually endocrine disrupting chemicals. This is a bigger problem because the effects only become prominent much later, and the effects normally relate to fertility, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and Alzheimer's. And the interesting with fertility is that it is often that the mother has the chemical residues in her body, but only her children get affected. And often the sexual organs that get affected both by men and by the girl's development, so that they cannot bear children or that they get cancers in it. What is the biggest concern is that the endocrine disruptors affect most living species. That means anything that has an endocrine system is affected by endocrine disrupting chemicals. Obviously, the issue is not related only to agricultural products. There are even natural endocrine disruptors, and there are, once again, chemicals that are far worse than the agricultural chemicals. But we must see what our effect is on our own health, that of our children, and the population at large. What is interesting is that the animal production, and this is both commercial animals and also wildlife, are also affected by the same chemicals. So any issues that are related to low fertility or to non-performance, the feed must always be taken into account. How was this product produced? What effect will the chemicals have that were used in the production of the feed? What effect will this have on the performance of the mother animal or on the performance of the newborn and on the overall health of the newborn?
Jerry, what is the effect of using these chemicals in animal production?
In both internal and external parasite controls for sheep and beef production, for example, this also has a negative effect on the environment. With tick control, how often is it said the product is ox ticker friendly? What about the rest of the insects and other natural predators? Dung beetles are a crucial part of the ecosystem, but also for controlling internal parasites. Studies have shown that healthy population of dung beetles can reduce internal parasitic nematodes by 75 to 93%. And these are often killed or eliminated if you use internal and external parasite control on your farm. The overall problem of using chemicals in farming practices is that the biology or the weeds, the pests and that, get resistance to the chemicals. Have we bred super weeds already? We know that we've already bred super bugs, if you look at the resistance of the hospital bugs in that. And how many vets do antibiograms, where all the antibiotics tested have no effect on the pathogen anymore? The same with worm internal parasite resistance and also tick resistance. How long can we afford to still have antibiotic growth promoters in our animal feed? These problems that we have created are man-made. We must just start looking at the alternatives. We already have examples of farmers that raise antibiotic-free meat that don't use any internal or external parasite control. There are also farmers that plant cash crops without the use of pesticides or herbicides. It can be done. If we continue to destroy the biology around our crop that we want to produce, be it in plant or animal-based, our input costs will continue to rise. We will constantly be at the mercy of the chemical companies that will always say their products are not harmful.
Jerry, what message do you want to leave with us today?
What is very interesting that in the United States of America in the 1960s, 4% of the children had chronic diseases. Today, that figure has gone up to 46%, and it is the first time in the history of the U.S. that the younger generation will have a shorter life expectancy than the older generation. Dr. Jane Goodall said, "You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make."
Where can you be contacted for further information?
People can contact me on 082-824-7258, or they can email me at jerry@greenbio.co.za.